Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have work to do. Normally, in a job setting, sometimes you have a circumstance or a situation in which you are given an assignment to accomplish. And when you see the list of things that you have to do, you will say to yourself, I have work to do. If you have a family member or members visiting your home and they have no sense of helping with cleaning and they go insane, you look at the aftermath of your place where you are living and you see the trash everywhere, you see the dishes pile up, you think to yourself, I have work to do. Well, I say that now, that we have work to do. Not just me, not just the elders, we all have work to do. As we go through this text, we're going to be beginning in verse 17, we will get a chance and an opportunity to see the death, resurrection, and new life of a believer. This is what I want you to keep in mind. So, are you all there? Oh, wow, y'all beat me. Okay. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 17, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to him, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the word of God. What does it mean to be an ambassador? One of the things that we do in Bible study is after we read a text, I will ask what stands out in the text so that we may talk about it. That is not just something that I do in Bible study, but it is something that I do in my life. What stands out in a text of Scripture? There are many things that stand out in this text, but the first thing that popped into my head is, what is an ambassador? For those of you who know music, there is a genre of music called rap. You all know that. I have to culture check everybody, okay? So please don't be offended. There's also a thing called Christian rap. And one of my favorite Christian rappers when I was getting a little bit older was a rapper by the name of Ambassador. What does it mean to be an ambassador? What is the definition? The definition is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. That is an ambassador. Let's have an example of that. In November 1978, there was a congressman that went to Ghana, where the People's Temple was, outside of the United States. He went there to check on the people that were a part of this cult. If any of you remember that time, it was before my time, but if any of you remember November 1978, he was an ambassador of America going to another country to deal with people. He represented America. When you are in the military, you represent the current military government, not just the government, but the history of America. So when you put on that uniform and you are in another country, you are a representative of the United States of America. In a way, you are an ambassador. So when you act crazy, that's not good. Only. So this person is accredited, and this person represents a country to another country. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, please raise your hand. That's what it means to be an ambassador. You can be an ambassador of your own home. You can be an ambassador of your job. That's what recruiters do. If you work a job and you're visiting another job representing your company, you are the ambassador of that particular company. So it's all making sense, I'm sure, where I'm going to get at in this text. We have work to do. Let's begin in verse 17. I won't be with you very long. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, not by yourself knowing of Christ, if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, if you are in Christ, not knowing of Christ, if you are in Christ, you are what? Okay, so now we've seen the death, and we're seeing now the resurrection of a person in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are now dead to your old self. You are no longer bound to your old self. You are no longer bound to your old sin. Sin does not reign from the innermost pits and parts of you. Yes, your body is still of sin, but when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in, you have been cleaned. You have been washed white as snow from the inside. Yes, you still have a shell that is full of sin, but inside, deep inside of you, you are saved, you are sealed, you are spotless, so you are a new creation, a new creature. You are no longer subject to your old sinful self. What does that mean? I don't sin anymore. Yes, you still sin. We all still sin. We're still on this side of heaven. But we are in the fold. We are with Christ. We are a new creature, a new creation. It says the old things passed away. The old things. Well, what do you mean by the old things, Luan? I'm still struggling with my anger. That was back. I've had it all my life. Old things. Your original man. Your original existence. That's what this text means in the Greek. Your original things have passed away. You were born into sin. You were born at war with God. Do you understand that? as nice as we see it, our baby pictures, you go on video and you see these people posting their kids and they're pretty and babies and la 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 and da, 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 and all nice and cute and big cheeks, smiley faces with no teeth. They are born into sin. We are all born into sin. We are born with the natural desire to be at war with God. Well, wait a minute, Luan, I don't agree with that. I'm a good person. I have a good heart. Based off of what standard? The Bible says that when Adam sinned, sin entered into everyone. So that means that you may be a good person from the fleshly perspective, but God knows you are at war with Him. Naturally. So it is saying here that the old things, that old perspective, that old original man of you has passed away. That's passed away. You're no longer at war with God anymore. Behold, new things have come. Well, I haven't seen these new things yet, Luan. I'm still suffering. Got you. I understand. But know this, eternally, you are well. As the song says, it is well with my soul. Though trials come, I don't know all the lyrics without singing it, and I don't want to sing it to you guys because I don't have the vocal range to sing it. I'll just say this verse. My sin, oh, the glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. Why is he saying my sin, not the part, but the whole? My sin, not some of my sins, but all of my sins have been nailed to the cross and I don't bear them no more. Praise the Lord, all my soul. What does that mean? That means that my sin that I've ever committed in my life, all of it has been nailed to the cross and I don't have to bear it anymore. Why? Because I am a new creation. I am a new creature. Does that make sense? Oh, I need y'all today. Does that make sense? Okay. It's almost like saying it like this, okay? It's almost like saying the verse like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you are a new creature, you are a new creation. The old things, the old natural self has passed away, and look and see, new things are coming. When the word behold in the Greek, it means see. Look and see. New things are coming. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciles us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So in other words, as the previous verse talks about, we have become new creatures, a new creation, and the old things have passed away, and behold, see, new things are coming. All of this has happened because of what God did. Not because of what you did. Not because you are a good person. Not because you managed to be a person that tries your best to follow the Ten Commandments. No, it is because of what God has done. And you know what? I will give God credit to say it is because of God that you are able to follow the commandments. It is because of God that you have been a good person. But understand this, it is something that God has done. All these things are from God. Why? Because He reconciled us to Himself through Christ. Oh boy. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Family, we have work to do. We are a new creation. All things have been made new. Now God has reconciled us through Christ. Reconcile, meaning to make things right. To be reconciled. How many of you have people that you, it would be nice if you can reconcile with them right now? Anybody? So all of you are right with everybody? To reconcile. I've gotten to learn the importance of that over the past 18 months. Being able to reconcile with people. Sometimes I desired it, sometimes I didn't want to. Some situations, it hasn't been reconciled. It hasn't been handled or dealt with. It hasn't been made right. There's sometimes there'll be people that will come to me and say, Luan, I just want to make sure that we get this right. That we are right, that we are okay. I've told people, hey, I just want to get this out to make sure that we are okay. To reconcile. How many of you have ever reconciled with someone before? How does it feel? Sometimes it may feel like, man, I had this weight that's been beating me down, this yoke on my shoulders for the last 2 weeks, 3 months, 8 years, 20 years. And sometimes it's even within our own brain. I had a situation where I had some brothers that I love. Non-church related, and we talked for the first time together, all of us. It's been over 10 years, and I did something to them that I felt was wrong, and I have held that burden in my heart for 10 years. And I said, listen, before we continue on, because you know we as people, sometimes we like to try to forget something and just start talking about stuff. So like, for instance, I'll use you, I'll use you as an example. George walks up to me, slaps me in the face, punches me and pushes me down. And then all of a sudden, next week I see him and we just start talking about something, never addressing the fact that you slapped me and pushed me down. And then months go by, and now I have the marks on my face to remind me every single day of the time that you punched me and we never talked about it. Right? That's how I felt, right? Well, hey, brothers, this was going on. I felt like I did you guys wrong, and I am truly sorry. I know we're talking, but let's talk about the elephant that's in the room that's been shrinked down and we're not talking about it. And what was really funny to me is that it was a burden that I held onto myself because they forgot about it. Completely forgot about it. Oh, Luan, you held on to that for 10 years, man? It's nothing. Like, oh, well, it was something to me. But it felt better to me that, hey, it's reconciled. And sometimes you may try to reconcile with somebody and they don't want to reconcile. That's fine. It's not, the burden's not on you. I'm putting it out here to say, Jesse, I am sorry for hurting you. If you choose to forgive me, we don't got to be best friends. If you choose to forgive me and it's over, it's over. If you want to hang on to it, then fine. I'm not hanging on to it anymore. I am attempting to reconcile. So guess what? What does the text say here? It says that God who reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ, meaning that we were in a particular state that we needed reconciliation. That's why I can say that we are all born into sin and at war with God. Because why would the text say here that God has reconciled us to himself through Christ? Through Christ. What did Christ do? He died on the cross. He died for our sins. So we needed reconciliation. It wasn't a situation where all the chaos is going on in the world and you were born and you just so happened to be just the model human being with little Tweety birds flying around your head. And everything was always perfect and beautiful and wonderful, and you always smiled, you always laughed, you were always the comforter of those that were hurting, you were always the person that was there to encourage, and you never had a bad day in your life. Guess what? You are still needing to be reconciled to God. Because your best is filthy rags. So if we're talking about that person, let's talk about the person that's in the gutter. Below the gutter, drinking the water and bathing in it. The person that is actually bathing in their own filth. Yes, they need to be reconciled to God too. All of us do. And God reconciled us to himself only through Jesus Christ. It's not through your works. It's not through other people. It's not through Muhammad. It is not through New Age stuff. It's through Jesus Christ only. And then here's what happened. He gave us the ministry. Ministry meaning service of reconciliation. Family, we have work to do because now God has given us the service and the ministry of that exact same reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? To be made right. So God has made things right with us through Christ, and he has given us the ministry to present to people so that they may be made right with God. Does that make sense? I'm losing my hearing, or maybe y'all are just dead silent. We have work to do. Verse 19. Namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So now we see here, number one, that we understand that Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, we just finished John. When you read about Jesus' earthly ministry, he was preaching to the world reconciliation. Repent. Turn away from your old natural self and come to me. Do you understand that? When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, you understand, guess what? This is the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus was working on getting people to turn away from their old self, not counting their trespasses against them, but was trying to get them to turn around so that they may have reconciliation with God. And then what did he do? As he left and ascended and went and sat on the right hand of the Father, he gave us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? I'll give you a hint. It's in my left hand. I'll give you a better hint. It's in my right hand. I'll walk around with it. The word of reconciliation. Well, what about the other testaments, Luan? No. False. What about the Quran? No. False. This is the word of reconciliation. In the beginning was the word reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ alone, we can be made right with God. We can reconcile with God only through Jesus Christ, nothing else. Church, family, We have work to do. The word of reconciliation. He's given us this word of reconciliation. So what do we do with it? We have work to do. Let me tell you something. Willie, if any of you know, well, you know, because I'll ask questions and Willie answers them right here. Willie, I'm going to throw names out here. Willie, he's going to be teaching Sunday school. He has taught the Bible before. He is teaching the word of reconciliation. I'm sorry, you guys. I got to throw your names out here, okay? I'm sorry. Forgive me, but I'm going to throw your names out here because honestly, I'm believing giving credit where credit is due. Julie is doing outreach ministry. She is spreading the word of reconciliation so that people may know about this church, know about this ministry that teaches God's word. Reconciliation. Jesse, my brother Jesse, is representing. He is an ambassador for Christ, and he is spreading the word of reconciliation to a demographic of people where we want to just pretend like they don't exist. Praise God for you, Jesse. John, Dave, Alan, Earl, reconciliation. My good friend Scarlett's not here. She's teaching the children word of reconciliation. Same with Becky. All of the children's ministry teachers, Jamie, Sandy, spreading the gospel to the children, the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. Ramona singing songs, singing one song with 18 verses, and she sings all of them. The song and ministry of reconciliation. I'm joking. Those are 18 verses, right? She got a hymn that's 30 verses long. She sings all 30 of them. I'm joking. Ministry of reconciliation. We have work to do. And then I will count all of you that I didn't mention. I don't know what you do. But if you represent Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior and Lord, you are an ambassador for Christ. You have no choice in the matter. You must do what he tells you to do. And as that's what? In Matthew chapter 28, he says, go and thank you, Willie. Of all nations, all people, all groups, all ethnic backgrounds, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what I've commanded you. We are all ambassadors of Christ if you are in Christ. So that's why I'm saying we have work to do. The fact that you sit fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations. Ring a ring, I don't feel like talking to that person. I'm reading my Bible, I love it. But you know, when it comes down to sharing the gospel, you're silent as a church mouse. You can have a lot to say about opinions, talk shows, political issues, but when it comes down to sharing the gospel, you don't want to offend anybody. Imagine what this world would be like if all of us believers stood up for Christ and preached and taught his word. Can you imagine? You talk about an atomic explosion. We have so many people that are afraid to offend. Well, I'm not really ready just yet. You think years of seminary with a degree made me feel like I'm ready? You think there's not butterflies in the stomach of how I'm going to present the word to God's people? Well, I don't know the Bible that well. Guess what? You have the Holy Spirit. None of us know the Bible that well. Even if we had it memorized. Like I told you guys a few weeks ago, I believe that there are certain sets in the Christian world that they do not care if people perish. All they care about is making sure that they continue to look good. I've had people that have smiled at the word of someone dying that probably weren't in necessarily in Christ. What did we talk about on a couple Wednesdays ago, y'all? When they announced the slaying or the killing of Osama bin Laden, the nation stopped and applauded. Christian nation, right? They stopped baseball games and announced it, and you see people standing to their feet and applauding. Did anyone ask, man, this man perished? Look at the tragedy in that. When people die, that's the first thing I think about. Were they in Christ? I pray that they were in Christ. There's certain groups that these extra holy John Wayne American Christians that don't care if people perish. I do. And I don't care who you are. If someone dies, my thought is, are they in Christ? I pray that they were in Christ. No matter who it is. We have work to do. So, with the word that comes through Christ, that comes to us, this word here is the tool that we need. It is the tool because it is the word of reconciliation. It is the foundations of our ministry of reconciliation. We have the opportunity to bring peace to the world, as it says in Colossians. So please turn your book to Colossians. Your Bible's to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Do you understand what that says? Book of Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, we were formerly at war with God, alienated and hostile in mind towards him, and we continue to engage in our evil deeds. Yet Jesus reconciled us with his dying on the cross in order that he may present us to be before God the Father as blameless, holy, beyond reproach. Does that make sense? Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Are you sure? So then why are we okay with people not having that opportunity? Why are we okay with not sharing the gospel? I'm not a pastor. I can't speak well in public, Luan. You know what? Can I tell you a secret? Neither did Moses. Moses had a stuttering problem. Moses. He wasn't well in speech. He had a problem speaking. Anybody know anybody that has a stuttering problem? A speech impediment. There's a movie. Where this guy, there's always a movie, but there's a movie that this guy has a speech impediment. He's trying to talk to a girl, and his speech doesn't, but it's more like a. But they fell in love, they got married, it was a happy ending. But the point is that he was slowed down with his speech impediment. Guess what? Moses had a speech impediment, and he was still used by God to assist a nation out of bondage. He was still able to write books of the Bible that we use right now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 5. God will have his glory despite your inconsistencies and your shortcomings. So when you say, I have a problem with public speaking, no problem. God can use you in another way. So we are now being reconciled to God through Christ. Second Corinthians 5:20. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let me stop there. We are ambassadors for Christ. So in other words, now that we've accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, and Jesus Christ is our Savior, we are now in the bosom of our Lord. We are now in the fold of Him, which means we are no longer of the world of sin. So now we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing one nation and going to another nation, that nation being apart from God, that nation being of sin and at war with God. I use the military member. You got a kid. He's what we call a civilian. He joins the military. He is no longer a civilian. He is now a soldier, sailor, marine, airman, whatever. And when he walks down the street, he is not a civilian. He is a service member. He is an ambassador of the United States government and military. He once was a civilian. He is not anymore. Does that make sense? So you were once at war with God, alienated from Him, but now you have been saved, you have been sealed, now you are of the bride of Christ, and now you are trying to go and represent Him to the world of civilians. Does that make sense? We are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. It's interesting, and if you get a chance, circle this verse, highlight this verse, think about this verse. This is proof right now that God does not want people to perish. He doesn't want people to be in sin and die in their sin. We are ambassadors of Christ, and that God is making an appeal. He is pleading. Through us. That we beg you on behalf of Jesus Christ who did it all. Make things right with God. The Bible here is begging you to make things right with God. The cost is too great. not to. Now, how can I say that? Because the text is saying, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. You're only reconciled to God through who? Jesus Christ. What is an appeal? It's to make a serious or urgent request, typically to the public. Doesn't that sound interesting? That is the human, secular definition of an appeal. Let's take that and put it into the Bible. We are seriously and urgently asking for people to be reconciled to Christ, and it's everyone that's out here. We are a small group amongst millions and millions of civilians. We are begging, please be right with God. Friends, we have work to do. God Himself is making a serious and urgent request for the world to stop being at war with Him and reconcile with Him through Jesus Christ. Only God knows the truth of those that die and are eternally separated from Him. We don't know it on this earth. Those books that come out like two or three a year, oh, I went to heaven, oh, I went to hell. There was a Baxter, a woman by the name of Mary Baxter, who came out with a book called Her Divine Revelation of Hell. Big time seller. Lies. And then I said, you know what? That's funny. This book is the number one seller. Everybody's talking about it, selling in Christian bookstores and stuff like that. She probably was going to come out with a part two. Oh, yeah, she did. Soon she came out with The Divine Revelation of Heaven. Lies. One of the Baptist churches that I was at for a moment of time with my mother was a church called Bethany Baptist Church in Long Beach. And it was funny because that church, there was a famous woman that came and spoke and preached at this church. And she had this minister's sermon called A Place Called Hell. And she talked about her experiences going into hell. And man, as a kid, I believed it. It was scary. Lies. Paul refused to even talk about the things that he witnessed when he went to the third heaven. He couldn't talk about it. What makes you think that some little 3-year-old kid, because they happened to talk about their grandfather who passed away 20 years beforehand, it's lies. Don't believe it. These are there to sell books. Focus on what the Word of God says. This is the Word of Reconciliation. Let me ask you a question. Now, I don't know. I haven't read any of the books. I guarantee you those books are not pleading for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they are, then I stand corrected. But I still don't give any validity to those books because they are 100% lies. 90 minutes in heaven, 90 minutes in hell. Just interesting, that's all. God is making an urgent request for the world to be reconciled to Him because He knows He created us, He knows our bodies, He knows everything about us, and He knows the seriousness, the great woe of being separated from Him. So He is pleading and saying, please come to Me. I can help you. I can supply all your needs. I can forgive you and heal you. I can wash you whiter than snow that you may be blameless, all because of what Jesus did on the cross. But I need you to come to Me. He knows the seriousness of it. We don't. How often do you hear your boss plead with you about doing something? I need you to do this. I ain't doing it. Okay, no problem. I'll send you your walking papers. God is making an appeal, and he is using us to make that appeal. So here's my question to you. When you have the opportunity to share the gospel with people, do you do it with a sense of urgency? Y'all all know that life comes and goes really fast. We don't know what's going to happen. People are here today and gone tomorrow. I had a professor in film school that was an Oscar winner, had all the accolades that you can imagine, did not believe in Jesus at all, died. My heart always wonders, what if I would have said something? Could it have made a difference? Would it have made a difference? Who knows? There needs to be urgency. The house is on fire. The house is on fire. Are you going to sit there and be like a lot of people do? World star, grab your phone and just record the fire when there's people in there? Or are you going to try to call the police, try to help where you can? Some of you will be even brave enough to run into the inferno to grab somebody. Is that urgent? Right now, the house is on fire. And sometimes you may run into that first room and the house is on fire and you grab a person, say, come with me, and they will come with you. And then you have some people that will say, you know what, no. Then leave them alone. You've presented. You've shared the gospel. Move on. Do you understand that when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, now you have the ability and the privilege to be a part of his mission, his plan to save other souls, to work for Jesus. Don't you see that as being an honorable position? Or is it just something that you don't even think about? You can walk up to somebody and say, God bless you. You all are out here. We got people that ask for money, ask for change. I'm not saying that you need to give them. I'm not telling you what to do. But if you do decide to give them change, a dollar, some change, why don't you say, hey, God bless you. I'm giving this to you in Jesus' name. Who knows what it might do? Me and Jamie went to some place a couple weeks ago. Woman comes up, homeless. She asks for some change. I give her some money. She started preaching to me. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, hey, God bless you too. You never know who you may entertain. Verse 21. We're almost done, you guys. Verse 21 is by far the most important verse. One of the most important verses in Scripture. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the doctrine of substitution. In other words, what it is saying here is that God the Father made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin for us. In other words, you have Jesus, the perfect fulfiller of the law. He is perfect. He is sinless. He's standing right here. I'm standing right along with all of us. We're all standing right here, right? When God looks at Jesus, he sees perfection, sinless, accomplishing of the law, perfect. He looks at us, sinful, dirty, filthy, hopeless. Jesus takes the sin that we have and he puts it on himself and dies on the cross, the penalty that we must have, dies on the cross for our sins. So now when God looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw all of our sin that we ever committed. That's why Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then when God looks at us, he looks at us as if we lived Jesus' life. Do you see that? Yes or no? Circle that verse. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are now, because when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, now we are now on an eternal sense, pure, clean, as if we lived Jesus' life. So, how do we deserve, what do we do to deserve this honor? We did nothing. But we have the honor and the comfort of knowing that we can be an ambassador of Christ because of what Jesus did. He has made us pure and clean. Does everyone understand that? We have work to do. Let's do two more verses and then I'm going to leave you alone. I know you guys are trying to hurry up and get to the football playoffs. Let's continue on. Chapter 6, verse 1. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Working together with who? With Christ. We are now workers together with our Lord to spread the gospel, to teach the words of reconciliation. Understand that. You understand that as you are working and you are sharing the gospel to people, the Holy Spirit is working with you. So you are working with God to bring reconciliation to the world. He is saying here that you will not receive the grace of God in vain, meaning empty, meaning with no purpose. The Bible, the Word of God, must mean something. Do not allow the grace of God to take advantage of the grace of God. What does that mean to have grace? I'll tell you like this. I told you on Wednesday, when I have my Hebrew professor, he was gracious to me by not giving me an F. He graded on a curve. Pastor Dave was gracious to me by not failing me in Greek. God has been gracious. We sin, he forgives. We sin, he forgives. Do not let the word of God go in vain in your life. Because indeed we are in him. You have an assignment. Every single one of you has an assignment, as we talked about before in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. There's a story of a woman that was freed from a life of homosexuality. And the beautiful thing about this story is that when she met this pastor and his wife, they had dinner together. And I think they had it for a certain amount of time. But he never talked to her about the Bible. He just showed her hospitality until she started asking questions. And there we go. The word of God went forth. She was saved, freed and delivered. I'm not saying that you have to be standing at a pulpit. I'm not saying that you have to have a megaphone walking around Fifth Street shouting it. But there has to be something. There has to be a desire in your heart to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know it. And if you think they know it, confirm that they know it. So we don't take the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, for he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, you understand that there will be a time when there will not be salvation available. There will be a time when he will not listen to you. When is that time? Some people believe that it's taking place kind of more in the eschatology sense, in the end times. Some people believe that it's talking about the concept of once you die. All I know is this. When the text says now is the time for salvation, now is the time for salvation. Because my time may be up today. Your time may be up today. None of us may not be here next week. You have friends and family members. They may not be here next week. They may not be here next month. Now is the time for salvation. Now is the time to share the gospel with people so that people may be saved. This is what the text is saying. The Bible is saying this. It's quoted from the Old Testament, yes. But we take it even further now. Because it's not just about the nation of Israel coming out of exile. It is about now is the time for salvation. God is pleading with us to spread the word of reconciliation to people. Now is the time. Not next week, not next month, not when I become brave enough, not when I become educated enough. Now is the time for salvation. Now, how many of you have bills? Okay. Everybody over here has bills. A couple of you have bills. None of y'all have bills. Okay, one of you. Okay. One of my biggest issues in my life is the light bill. There's nothing like having your electricity shut off because you didn't pay your light bill. Normally, with a light bill, and particularly with the phone bill, right, you have a date when that phone bill is due, correct? Okay. So if the date, now, fortunately for me, I get notices. Hey, your bill is past due. Cool, that was a nice morning. There was one time I didn't have the money to pay my phone bill. And I got the notice, phone bill due. I got the warning, phone bill due. And it was in the most inconvenient time that the phone shut off. It wasn't the day that I got the warning. Matter of fact, I think it was a whole other week. I got the warning, and then a week later, all of a sudden, phone don't work. Try to call somebody, I get the T-Mobile song. Your phone has been disconnected. Why am I telling you this story? God has given us the warning. Salvation is now. I'm not taking the beauty and the glory of our Lord and comparing it to a phone. I'm just using that as an analogy. When you have a bill, light bill, where your lights can be turned off, phone bill, where your phone could be turned off, you get the warning, and then they give you more grace period. Grace, right? And then eventually it gets shut off, and it gets shut off at the worst time. You don't pay your light bill, all of a sudden you're sitting there, it's cold outside, you're watching your favorite show, choom. What am I going to do about my refrigerator? I got food, right? Maybe I'm the only one that's experienced that. Okay, that's fine. Here's the thing. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? For those of you that don't know what it's like, okay, that's cool. I'm just saying it's the most inconvenient time. When your phone gets shut off, it's the most inconvenient time. You don't know when it's coming, but it happens. I'm telling you right now, now is the time for salvation. There will be a time. We don't know when it is, but we've gotten the warning. We've gotten a warning in Scripture. And as you guys get to see the end times now and how dirty and filthy this world continues to be, you get to see it. You're seeing it. You're seeing nations rising up against nations. You're seeing race of people rise up against other race of people. You're seeing everything that Jesus prophesied about. You're seeing it happen. Guess what? The warning is happening. It's here. And eventually there's going to be a time when the lights get turned off. And then it's too late. Now is the time for salvation. If there's anybody that you know that you would even remotely question their salvation, it's not your place to question their salvation, but you just know that, hey, maybe they don't have a walk with the Lord. Ask them. Eternity depends on it. I would hate, I'm going to tell you this last story, I'm going to leave. There was a dramatic audio that was made where a guy dies and he's talking to his friend. And he said, he's describing life after. Oh, I can see better than I've ever seen before. I can feel more than I ever feel before. But there's things in darkness that's coming towards me. And he's talking to his friend and he said, but you were a Christian and you never told me about Jesus. You used to laugh and joke with me when I would mock Jesus. And as he's telling this story, he's being dragged. And he said, I am without hope. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Dramatic? Absolutely. But think about that. You are an ambassador of Christ. It is time for us to get some work done. Spread the gospel, teach the gospel, because now is the time for salvation, right now.